Greetings to you on this beginning of a new week. And I will be diving into chapter 13 of My Soul Waits by Marva Dawn, and have been deeply moved by the chapters this week in reflection on how we can learn and how God can speak to us. And so chapter 13, the title is The Right Kind of Boasting. The Right Kind of Boasting. From Psalm 34, verse 2, it says, "My soul will boast in the Lord." But a fuller version of that, Psalm 34, 1 through 3, is, "I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." Yes, David is providing words of praise that God is with us. And David's theme is that to call and to reach out and to connect, to boast in the Lord, that there is strength and motivation to continue on no matter the challenge. But when I think about Psalm 34, I think about times in my life and in your life, the world's life, where we could throw in the towel, we could quit, we could say, enough is enough, I'm tapping out. But no, there is always more. And when God is involved, we do not throw in the towel, we do not quit, we trust and we boast. Yes, boast. Faithfully, that God is with us. And so we'll dive in here to Marva's words. In this psalm, David is most likely writing about his escape from Abimelech. And this comes from 1 Samuel verse 21 and into verse 22. This is where this dynastic family and his reign was weighing down on the people. And so David had fled, and he began to gather others around him who too were being oppressed. Most likely this psalm, though, was written much later, after enough time had passed for reflection for David. And you know how time and distance and space allows us to find words differently than even living in the moment. And so he had learned there was value for this in his life. And as David's looking back here, we think that he's recognizing that Yahweh was in the ultimate control of his life, and therefore he's responding to God's love with words of praise. Yes, he's recognizing that Yahweh was in ultimate control of his life, that David wasn't in control of his life, but that Yahweh was, not as thinking about strings being attached or God manipulating and moving you, but that God is there. God is in the midst of what's going on, and God has life that is happening and love that is happening and hope that is bursting into that, even in difficulty. And David's words of praise urge us, I think, to choose the discipline of remembering the character of God who cares about us. And even when we don't feel like praising, there's comfort in that habit. Yes, even when we don't feel like praising, there's comfort in that habit. You see, so often we function out of what we think we're feeling in the moment. And if I don't feel joy, then I'm not going to share joy. If I don't feel like loving somebody, then I'm not going to share that I truly love them. When that's probably the exact time that we need to be saying it. We need to be acting it, living it out, bringing it to bear, because it's not just about the feeling. It's about the love, the hope, the joy in action. You see, David begins with a verb here that has its root word in the meaning to kneel or to adore with bended knee. And this verb in this psalm would mean to bless or to extol. Its roots suggest that extolling the Lord at all times is based on humility, on our humility, our kneeling recognition that Yahweh is always worthy of our praise, no matter what. Though the normal nastiness of everyday life will tempt us away from extolling the Lord at all times, we have that choice to praise, to worship, and to lift up our voice, knowing that the benefit of praising is what will lift our soul, keep us truly connected in this relationship with God. David is saying that adoration and thanksgiving and praise needs to always be upon the tip of our tongue, that needs to be coming from our mouth, the energy that's flowing out into the world. We need it. Well, then in the second verse, he's declaring that he's going to glory in Yahweh. The Hebrew here emphasizes in Yahweh by placing that first. And the statement reminds Marva and us of Paul's comments about glorying only in the cross of Christ, because nothing else is worth our boasting. And you can read Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11, or Romans 5, chapters or verses 1 through 11, to hear more of Paul's language. But we glory in the cross of Christ, knowing that it's in that sacrifice, it's in the laying down of life, that God will pick it up again. And even when the world looks like it's winning with its hate and its rage, it is not. That something greater, God is again at work. And so, yeah, check those verses out. Well, David recognizes that his boasting is about Yahweh's character, and it's not his own. I want to draw that out again. David recognizes that boasting is about God's character rather than his own. This is not about puffing ourselves up, but it's about praising a God who is at work in our life. You see, the concept of boasting can easily be distorted by us. We're so afraid of prideful boasting that we don't know how to do it right. And we often resort to false humility. But Marva writes, to boast properly is to recognize humbly where credit is due. Thus, to boast in Yahweh means to point out to others that God has done great things, and how we see in God at work in our lives and in the world, that God is on the move, that God's Spirit is alive and well. That is what we're boasting. Again, even in the face of challenge or bitterness or loneliness. She writes, and I think this is so true, that too often the testimony given in worship services or public conversations, that they elevate improperly the person doing the speaking, the preacher, the person at the microphone. But often we're not left thinking, what a wonderful God that person has. And she says, good testimony leaves everyone knowing God better. Yes, we need more testimony of the power of God at work in people's lives. And rather than building up individuals, we are boasting about the work of God. The purpose of our boasting is made clear by David's next line in this psalm, which promises that the afflicted ones, those who are held down, that they will hear and they will be joyful. We need more genuine witnesses in our churches so that those who are weak or humbled or oppressed, that they can be glad in the testimony that they are indeed hearing. You see, David's words urgently call us to apply all of this in our Christian circles and in our world. If we more thoroughly appreciated the immense value for others that comes from speaking about what the Lord is doing in our lives, we would do it more often and thus would be more strengthened. We talk about this as church. What's your testimony? What's your story? We all have a story. And nobody can argue ultimately with your story. You simply share what God is doing, what God has done, what God will do in your life. And let that be an offering. Let that be your worship. Focus back in to the Word, to the Scriptures, the living Word, of stories in the early church and how God was active there. And let those stories build the foundation of people all around you. We could be more thoroughly a safe haven, a place of life where the afflicted can be nurtured in hope. But we must tell these stories. We must point to the power of God at work in us and in the world. You see, David, the poet here, calls his listeners to magnify the Lord with him. He's inviting the community, all the hearers, everyone around him, join with me in praise of God. So we can gladly magnify Yahweh, because we know that when we're introduced to God's presence and purposes and compassion, that we will be built up. We have no doubt that God is faithfully going to prove God's self worthy of praise when we look to Jesus on the cross. And so when we're out there telling the story, it's a delightful privilege and it's a natural reaction to what God has done. We're simply enabling others to hear about this God of life, this God of love, this God who seeks to create all things new. And so, let us exalt his name together. Let us join together in our invitation to a greater community to see God in action. Let's share our unique perspectives on God's character. And may, as we do that, may we too be built up from the inside out, remembering of the work that God has done and is doing in you, so that we can get to work again in whatever is next. I think David in this psalm ends with that theme of joy, that the joy in the Lord, that is our strength, and that is what is going to undergird our lives. As I look across church pews and as outreach agencies and grace and action projects, that's what I see. I see that the joy in the Lord, that is our strength. Because we've all experienced a whole lot. Life has not been easy. Life is often difficult. It's challenging. But by walking together and building one another up, in those rough moments when we can't crank ourselves to get going, when we don't know how to manufacture our joy or pretend that we have the energy, there's great renewal in the habit of praise and in the joining together with others in a shared story. You see, churches, we bless Yahweh. We are blessed. As we boast in God's love, that recounting fills us with God's presence. And when we do that in community, with a neighbor, with a friend, with a cul-de-sac in which we live, I think all are doubly encouraged. May you hold on to that promise and boast in who God is for you. And so, questions for further meditation on this day. Can you really praise Yahweh at all times? Number two, when we lose the praise from our mouths, how can we recover it? Number three, how can we keep our boasting godly? Number four, which friends do you want to invite to magnify the Lord with you? And why? Which friends can you reach out to and share stories and connect around God's story? Who are those people? And perhaps this week, make a few of those phone calls and do that. And the last question, how could our congregation become more a genuine community that helps people to exalt the Lord's name together? How could we even do that more fully, in more genuine ways, as we seek to praise God, and to build community? Well, again, blessings to you until we talk again. Peace and hope.